Let us pray together and ask for God's blessing on the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we look to you as our faithful and good shepherd. Lord, we are your sheep, bought with your own precious blood. And so we thank you that we belong to you in a bond that can never be broken. Lord, please do guide us tonight. If we have fallen into any sin, please lift us up, lift us out, and wash us clean. Lord, if we are heading in the wrong direction, please guide us onto the paths of righteousness. And Lord, if we are fearful, Lord, please grant us courage, grant us comfort, and lead us into your heavenly home, we pray. Amen. Well, let's turn together again to Philippians and chapter 3. And in our passage tonight, the Apostle Paul teaches us a truth that changes everything. A truth that changes everything. At the heart of this passage is a key Christian truth, a doctrine, a specific part of Christian teaching that once you know it, it changes everything about the Christian life. Everything about our relationship with God. The truth that changes everything is that we are justified by faith. We are justified by faith and by faith alone. We are justified by grace through faith. In verse 9, Paul says his desire is to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now this is a glorious truth for us to consider, that we are justified, that we are righteous by faith. If we really understand this truth tonight, we should all leave walking on cloud 9 and dancing and rejoicing in this wonderful truth. It's a truth that's so important, that's so central. You'll know, I'm sure, that the reformers called it the truth by which the church stands or falls. Meaning the true church of Jesus Christ preaches this truth. Now this is not a new truth that he's sharing with the Philippians. It's something that he would have taught them at the very beginning of his time with them as he founded the church. In verse 1 he says, look, I'm writing to remind you of these things. I'm reminding you of these key central truths. And perhaps you know the doctrine of justification by faith, which we'll look at tonight. But Paul says, let me remind you again. It is not tedious. It is not a burden. What an understatement. It's a joy to come back and consider these truths again, no matter how many times we hear them. And he says to them, for you, it is safe. This is what will keep you on the right path as a Christian. This is what will keep you strong and walking with the Lord, that you be reminded of these glorious truths. Picture a little bit that it's like this. Picture a man who inherits a wonderful mansion. And there it is, his name written on the title deed. And he keeps that title deed safely locked up in a safe in the most secure place. But there's times when he just can't believe his good luck. And he says, who am I to live in such a glorious thing? Surely there's been some kind of mistake. And so he goes and he gets and he opens up the safe and he gets out the title deed and he looks at it again. Well, no, there it is. There's my name. That this inheritance belongs to me. And it assures him and it gives him confidence. Well, that's what Paul is doing for us here. He's bringing out this great title deed of our inheritance. The inheritance that we have in Christ of his heavenly kingdom. And he's saying, look, there your names are. Here's this glorious truth, justification, that we've got to keep coming back to. So to understand this precious truth and how it changes everything. Let's just focus in on the words of Paul and break it into sections one step at a time. He says, this is about the righteousness which is from God by faith. So first, righteousness, righteousness. Well, to be simple, righteousness is being in the right, being right, to be declared in the right. Justification is a declaration by God. It is to be in the right with him, in a right standing with him, in a right relationship with him, to have righteousness in his eyes. The great question that all the Bible addresses is how do we obtain righteousness with God, a right standing, so that when we stand before him as our judge, as we are all going to do when we die or Christ returns, when we stand before him and our lives are evaluated and measured, how in that moment before holy God, who sees everything, who knows the deepest, darkest secrets of our lives, who knows our sins, how in that moment do we stand before this holy God and be accepted and be righteous? Because our position is we have sinned against him. And having broken his law, we are guilty, we are condemned. And that God has no favorites. You don't get a pass just because you have come to church or have the name of Christian. But we shall be judged by the true standards of eternal righteousness, his law. And if we're to be punished for our sins, it means banishment from his presence forever. So the terrible problem we have is our sin, the guilt of our sins. How can we be right before God? Now perhaps the clearest place in all the Bible where justification is explained is the first 8 chapters of Romans. And Paul spends most of those 8 chapters explaining and defending this truth of justification, of righteousness. And he begins here. The problem is our lack of righteousness. He says, every mouth is closed and all the world is guilty before God. But we need not just to state these truths or understand them. We need to feel them. We need to feel the weight of this. It's so easy, I think, because we get on with the busyness of day-to-day life, that the reality that we will one day stand before God in judgment, it just seems something alien and foreign, something not real. But to understand justification, we have to begin here. Our condemnation before God. But the good news of the gospel is that God himself supplies the righteousness that we need. As then Paul says next, it is the righteousness that comes from God. It is his free gift that he provides the righteousness we need, this right standing. That it's not something we earn. It's not something we create or do ourselves, but it is bestowed upon us. By grace, it is his gift. And that it is Christ who has won justification, righteousness for us. That he has atoned for our sins at the cross. And there he fully satisfied the law of God. And so in him, we are forgiven. We are acquitted. We are reconciled. In Christ we come to God and he judges us righteous in his sight. But not just because sin is taken away, but because Christ's own righteousness, his right standing with God, is shared with us and becomes our position. So that on that day of judgment, as God looks at you, it is as if Christ stands between us. And God looks at us only through his reflection, only in his shadow. And we stand in his righteousness. Not as a fiction. Not by bending or breaking the rules. It's not as if God does this by make-believe, by just arbitrarily declaring, oh, Christ is your righteousness. No, it is because we truly are righteous in him. The key to understanding are those two precious words, in Christ. God has so united us to Christ that what is true of him is true of us. That we are so one with him. We are like, well, even more fully, we are like a husband and wife who then join together in marriage, share in life. If the wife had debts before they were married, they become the husband's. If the husband had vast treasures and infinite wealth, it becomes the wife's. We come with all our debts, but God so unites us to Christ by his grace. All his treasure, his righteousness becomes ours. When I think of justification, I'm always drawn back to the declaration that God the Father gave over Christ at his baptism. That God looked upon him with such approval that the heavens opened and he said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, with whom I am fully satisfied." Justification is that we now, as sons in Christ, God declares that over us. You are my beloved children. In you I am well satisfied, well pleased. Because of this union we have with Christ, we are justified. A very simple picture again, to give you a story. I once heard a preacher explain it this way. There was once an auction of a man's house, and every item had to go. And in his house there were many priceless pictures and works of art. And so there was a great gathering of dealers and lots of people ready to bid lots of money on buying these beautiful pictures. But the first lot that came up was a scribbled pencil drawing. Well, nobody bid for it. But the rules of the auction were strict. Until this first item was sold, well, the auction could not proceed. Until eventually one man says, "Well, I'll bid just a pound, just a dollar." Sold. And then the auction was closed. And the deeds of this father's will is that whoever bought that first painting then received everything. Because it was the scribble drawing that his son had done. And he loved his son so much, he took such pride in it. He wanted his son's artwork to be honored. When we obtain Christ, we obtain everything. Whoever has the son has all the other gifts. Justification, sanctification, redemption, resurrection, all glory, all the prizes and treasures come if we honor the Son and have the Son. This is what we've got through union in Christ, this free gift of justification. Again, as Paul says in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Christ is God's gift to meet our need. But then the final part of Paul's words, that it is by faith, through faith. How do we receive this righteousness, this gift of Christ? It is by faith, not by works. A gift that we simply receive. It's not something we merit or obtain by our goodness or religion or efforts. Faith is simply that we hold out our hands to receive this gift. Paul in Romans 4 has a helpful analogy. He says, look, if someone works at a job, They're entitled to their wages. Something they've earned. Something that you deserve as your due. If you went to work every day and never got paid, you would have been treated unfairly. But what about the person who does no work? And yet they are still paid. That's what the free gift is like, he says. We haven't done the works of the law. We haven't done what God requires. But God freely bestows on the unworthy, on the guilty, on the wretched, terrible, sinful people that we are, this wonderful gift. We simply receive it. There's no ladder of merit. It's not about getting to be a good enough person that you then earn this gift. God gives it freely to whoever believes the moment they believe, no matter how sinful or helpless, no matter how bad a life you've lived, no matter how far off you are from God, in a moment of living faith, a faith that looks to the promise of Jesus. And it's not even that faith merits anything. It's just the act of receiving, of empty hands. We receive everything and are justified. Think of the wonderful picture we're given of it in the Old Testament by the prophet Zechariah. You know that glorious picture of Joshua the high priest representing all the people of God and their sins at the time of the exile, and how he was pictured in the heavenly courtroom and his robes were filthy so that he could not serve as a priest. But then as Satan accuses him and demands that he be condemned, the angel of the Lord, the Son of God, intercedes and commands that a robe, a new clean robe, be brought out, and Joshua is clothed and put into this office of serving God. The robe of righteousness of Christ with which we're clothed. This wonderful, wonderful truth that we are justified by faith. This is the very heart of the gospel. And it's good news for you and for me. That in an instant, we are made right with God. This is the truth that changed everything for the Apostle Paul, that changed his life. In Philippians 3, he gives us an insight into the kind of person he once was. A moral person, a religious person, a Jew of Jews, faithful to the law, so zealous to do what he thought was God's will, he persecuted the church. But he came to realize, when he understood justification by faith, that he'd been doing it all as a kind of self-righteousness. He'd been doing it all to try to earn a right standing with God. And so he realized, as he compared his grubby righteousness with the surpassing excellency of Christ, he says, it's rubbish. It all amounts to nothing. Again, to help us feel these wonderful truths of justification by and of righteousness, you know, very often as we talk about feeling the condemnation of the law, that's true. But we also need to see the surpassing excellency of Christ. And then realize how small our feeble attempts at goodness is. That too is how we can be brought to see this truth. Seeing his surpassing excellency, his righteousness. And it changed Paul forever. He becomes the great apostle, preaching this free grace, this salvation open to all, far and wide. And as he shares this glorious doctrine with the Philippians, he points to three ways that it changes everything. Three ways that it should change their lives, your life tonight. They are pride, praise, and the prize. That this truth, first of all, destroys all human pride. That's what justification by faith does. It tears down all human pride. Remember that the context in this chapter, Paul is contrasting two different ways of religion. There's the religion of the flesh, which promotes self, which glories in self, what you can do. And then there is the religion of communion with Christ, glorying in him. I remember that key word that Paul talks about, glorying, meaning what you boast in, what you take pride in, what you have confidence in. Well, before justification by faith, he says, I was taking great pride in myself. I was confident in myself. I boasted in my righteousness. Just as the false teachers he's writing against were doing. And in verses 4 to 6, he lists all the different things that we take pride in as human beings. All the things that we tend to boast about. We boast about our learning. We boast about our families, our background, our countries, our nationality. We boast about our achievements and our religion and our good works. And all of them we take pride. He boasted in his religious zeal, at his sincerity, about his commitment. And we all do it. We all boast and take comfort in different ways in those things. There's something so self-deceptive about pride. And in our hearts, we do count ourselves as being better than other people. Invariably, the wickedness of our pride leads us to look down on those we think are less moral, less righteous, less good than us. If you tell me tonight that you never think that way, I don't believe you. Because I know I sometimes do that. He boasted in his obedience. Scrupulously sought to keep God's law. But he sees it's all nothing. When it's compared to the excellency of Christ. What is all this man-made righteousness? What can I boast in? It's all fit to be thrown away. Justification by faith demolishes human boasting. If we are justified as a free gift of grace, as unworthy sinners, not according to anything in us, what can we boast about? What do we have that gives us any credit in it? We are all equally humble, the entire human race, and all the glory goes to God. And the point for you is this. This is how it should change your life. If you really understand justification by faith, it should kill your pride. It should kill it stone dead. That you should know you are nothing. You are nothing. You are a sinner saved by mercy and grace alone. And then when you're tempted to look down on other people and judge them, even in the smallest way, remember those words of John Newton we looked at in a Bible study a few months ago. How he said, if a blind man who fell into a pit is lifted out by the mercy of others, how then can he look down with scorn if another blind man has fallen in the same pit? You get the point. Justification should kill our pride. How can we dare to judge someone else? How can we think we're better than anyone else? How do we think that we know any better or are more deserving when we're justified by grace alone? You know, often in the scriptures, people who are proud are pictured as lions. They're like lions. It's a great picture, isn't it? Think about a lion. There's something fierce about a lion. A lion tends to be a solitary creature as well, especially the male. It tends to keep to itself. And it tends to be rather lazy. Those are all characteristics of pride, aren't they? There's a fierceness, a lack of gentleness in how you deal with other people, especially when they've gone wrong. There's something solitary, standoffishness, that you keep yourself at arm's length from people in need. And there's a laziness about you, a self-satisfiedness, a smugness. But instead, what justification by faith does is it turns lions into lambs. That we ought to have the characteristics of helpless sheep, meek and gentle, helpless and always getting into trouble apart from their shepherd's care, and that stick together as a flock. We never have any right to be proud, and justification by faith is the way to kill your pride. But then secondly, the great change is it should lead to praise for Jesus. Paul, in this, again, this key word, glorying, boasting, he says, not in anything in the flesh, not in anything in us, we glory in Jesus. We rejoice in him. We boast in him. And again, that is what justification should do in you. It should make you live a life of praise, of glorying in Jesus. Again, this word boasting that Paul uses, very literally, it means to talk loudly. that before we all talk loudly about ourselves. We fish for compliments and we want people to notice what we've done. But after justification, we should be talking loudly about Jesus. That we just want to keep shouting out about him and pointing to him and declaring his goodness. Now I suspect that none of us praises Christ as we should. Don't you get the impression with Paul that when he got up the first thing in the morning, he started praising the Lord Jesus? And don't you find that when he's in trouble, like in Acts when they were thrown in prison in Philippi, what do you find him doing? Praising God. Because Paul was a man who had really got justification. He knew his real relationship with God. And that is the fuel to supply the fire of our praise. If we fear that we're getting cold in our witness, slow to speak of Christ and share the gospel, if we hardly ever speak of Christ to others, if there's something missing in our praise, are we praising him day to day? Then let's remind ourselves of justification by faith. That it gives us great assurance. It gives us great confidence that we are saved. Because it doesn't depend on us. If I have a bad day or a good day, if I sin or I don't sin, my standing with God does not depend on me at all, but on Christ. So praise him. Praise him for this great gift. And then the third way it should change your whole life is justification by faith leads us to pursue the main prize. It teaches us to pursue the resurrection. And we must come back to this next passage from verse 12 onwards next week. But Paul says, look, now that I'm justified, this is my goal, verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, I think here, he's not actually really talking about the resurrection power that we know now in the Spirit in part. I think he is literally talking about the resurrection to come. The day of glory when we're going to be raised up. Because if you look from verse 12 to verse 21, you'll see there that he's talking about resurrection day. As he says in verse 21, that on that day our lowly body will be conformed to his glorious body. He's talking about knowing the power on that day when Jesus returns, the day of judgment, that we'll be transformed, that we'll be raised up, that we'll be made perfect, that we'll be without sin and we shall live in a glorified form forever, in the form with which Christ was raised. And at the resurrection we shall know Christ. We'll enjoy a communion with him beyond anything we've known in this life. Paul is saying, now that I know justification, this is what I'm living for. This is my goal. This is what I'm pursuing. I'm running after it. It's the greatest prize. The upward call of God in Christ. That on that day, God would call my name and say, be raised, Paul. And he's seeking it more than anything else. He says, this is my priority. I forget about the past. I just let it fall away. I set my eyes on the prize and I run towards it. And so he's making every effort, fighting every obstacle, using all his strength and energy. He's fighting to obtain this prize. It's another way of saying Paul knows he must persevere in the Christian life. There are two different sides to the truth of perseverance. It is true that God keeps us by his grace. But humanly speaking, we must run the race. We must persevere in the faith and good works and run and stay on the right path. If you look at verse 18, Paul is grieving. He says, for those who walk, as I've often told you, who have turned to living for earthly things, that they're living to satisfy their earthly bodies, their gluttonous, their covetousness, they glory in their shame. That's an allusion to sexual sin. Now, when you look at the context on the verses either side, you'll understand that in that verse, Paul's not speaking about non-Christians, strictly speaking. He's talking about those who were once Christians and have fallen away. He makes a comparison between him and faithful believers walking and their walk. And then again, if you look at verse 19 in the context, you see he's saying these were once believers who've fallen away. And so he's saying, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to become so tempted by the world and the now, the glories of now, that I fall away. I'm going to run towards the resurrection and gain that great prize and be faithful to the end. So you see that justification is really, in a sense, just the beginning. Now there is held out in front of you the prize of glory, of resurrection day. So this glorious gospel that you have heard, Paul says, stand in it. Stay in it. Hold to it. And this justification produces this changed life that will persevere. And so the final call is, what does it mean for you? Well, justification is glorious, isn't it? It's wonderful. But Paul says, I don't settle though. I press on to perfection. I press on for the thing that Jesus has laid hold of me for. There's a wonderful sense there that word lay hold of means I was going about my own way and Christ seized me. He grabbed hold of me and put me on this path for this purpose, that I might enjoy resurrection with him. He's saying, look, believers, if you are justified, Christ has laid his hand on you. And he's saying it's for this glorious purpose. So pursue this most glorious prize. Justification by faith. The truth that changes everything. It frees us from our pasts. And it gives us new purpose and power. It gives us a glorious hope. So let's fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, who is our righteousness. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this most marvelous truth of justification, that we live, that we are accepted and righteous in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for his spotless, perfect righteousness. We thank you for his atoning work upon the cross. Lord, may we ever remember these truths. Lord, let us not wander away from them, but may they inspire us to run like Paul. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.